Well, good morning. If we haven't met, my name's Ben, and I could probably go down a little bit. This is incredibly loud. It's great that we can be here together on Mother's Day, and we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy, chapter 1, just that short section that we just looked at. And to start off, I want to introduce you to my mum, who is there on the left. This is Debbie. Someone at 8:30 pointed out that I'm not very creative in my attire. You know, I'm wearing the same shirt today as I was then. So there you go. I'm a simple man. But one thing that my mum did as we were growing up is that she thought it was really important that us kids, me and my younger siblings, that we knew who Jesus was. And so she would teach us Bible stories, and we would also sing songs as well. And so some of them were just Christian kids' songs, and other ones were ones like this one, which was based on the end of the Romans 10 reading that we just had. And I would actually like to teach you this song that my mum taught us kids as we were growing up. It's pretty catchy. I'm going to sing it once through, and then I'd love if the second time through, if you guys could join in. It's pretty easy. Beautiful feet, beautiful feet. Who's got beautiful feet? Beautiful feet, beautiful feet. Who's got beautiful feet? People who walk, people who talk about Jesus. People who walk, people who talk about him. All together now, beautiful feet, beautiful feet. Who's got beautiful feet? Beautiful feet, beautiful feet. Who's got beautiful feet? People who walk, people who talk, and people who talk about Jesus. People who walk, people who talk about him. So that was one of the songs that my mum had come up with, talking about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news to others. Obviously, this isn't talking about aesthetically pleasing feet. This is just talking about how amazing is it that people go and tell others about Jesus. And so that was one of the truths that I was reminded of as a kid growing up. And that was something that I can thank my mum for in that song. And what we have in the letter today that Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, his protege, is we have Paul here. He's writing to encourage him. Paul, he is in Rome. He's either under house arrest or locked up in prison. But in either way, things aren't looking good for him. Now he's writing to him, he's like, Timothy, keep going. But I'd love it if you could come and see me soon. Things aren't looking that great. And so he's writing to encourage Timothy. And as Paul, he writes to Timothy, he kind of looks back through his family and just sort of sees this faith that has been passed down through the family. And he's thankful to God for that. Before we move on, I do just want to echo what Mel was talking about before, just in the introduction to our service, that I was aware in preparing today's talk that it can be quite a difficult day for some people when it comes to Mother's Day. I just want to let you know that I have been praying for you this week. Mark has been as well. And I've had you in my mind as I was preparing this and the pain that different people feel for different reasons. So I just want to put that out there as well. I do pray for all of us, whether we are a mum or not, that it will be still a very encouraging time as we look at God's word, as we're reminded about some incredible truths about God and who he is and how he wants us to live. The question that I want to ask today is, how do we keep the faith alive? How do we keep the faith alive? Whether that be for ourselves or whether that be in our families and our children, how do we keep the faith alive? I think today, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see two sort of main encouragements that I just want to highlight for us today. And the first one is that God, he uses ordinary, faithful believers to teach people about Jesus. Ordinary, faithful believers to teach people about Jesus. And in particular, Paul, he's looking at Timothy's life, and he looks at the women in his life and how they were such, they played such a big part in Timothy and the faith that he has. I'm just going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Feel free to follow along on page 963. I'm just going to read from verse 3. So Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded also now lives in you." Paul talks about this sincere faith that Timothy has. Now, he talks about getting it from his mother and grandmother and how they have been great models to him. This sincere faith, this has been the real deal faith, not fake. This is true and genuine. Paul talks about the sincere faith, which in verse 5, first lived in your grandmother Lois. This language of like living in his grandmother, this is the same word that Paul uses when he says in Colossians, "May the word of Christ dwell richly among you, live richly among you." It's the same word that Paul uses in both letters. This is Holy Spirit language. This is saying you've got Eunice and Lois have the Holy Spirit living in them, and this is the real deal, true and genuine faith. It's active and alive. It's not passive. What do we know about Lois and Eunice? Lois, we don't know much more beyond this passage. She was a devout Jewish woman who knew the scriptures and who was a great model to Timothy, and she had sincere faith. Lois, we also find out a little bit more about from Acts chapter 16, where we're told very briefly that she was married to a Greek man who's very likely an unbeliever, the way that it's sort of phrased. And so here's Eunice, and she's a devout Jewish woman, and she's married to a Greek man, very likely an unbeliever. And so she's in this mixed marriage household where you can imagine things, it might not be very easy all the time, especially when it comes to raising their son Timothy. But she's commended for her true and genuine faith. What were Lois and Eunice passing on to Timothy, though? Well, it's not just this family tradition, but I think they were modeling this true and genuine faith that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy saw that. He saw the real deal lived out at home. A great Christian once said that we can come to church and deceive each other, but we can never deceive the children in our home. I mean, that's true, isn't it? Because they see the best of us and they see the worst of us, don't they? What did it look like for Lois and Eunice, though, to model this to Timothy? We get a glimpse of it a little bit later on in the letter where Paul keeps writing to Timothy and he says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Put simply, I think Lois and Eunice, they've been teaching him the Bible. They've been teaching him all the Old Testament scriptures that they would have known very well as devout Jewish women. And then very likely that Lois and Eunice, they became Christians as Paul came to speak in their town. And so now they know that the Old Testament scriptures were pointing to Jesus all along, and they have been able to pass this on to Timothy. A great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, said, speaking about mothers as an encouragement, he says, you are as much serving God in looking after your own children and training them up in God's fear and minding the house and making your household a church for God as you would be if you had been called to lead an army to battle for the Lord of hosts." I think what Charles is trying to encourage mothers here is that home is the front line. Home is the front line as we teach and train the children in our household. Another way that that looked like for me growing up, I'm very thankful for my mum. She, we probably, as we got older, we would have around the table after dinner, we would have like a stack of 20 memory verses. And over the course of a few months, we would learn these memory verses together as a family, me and my two younger siblings. And once you had memorized the 20 memory verses, you got to go out for a very special ice cream. We were living in Thailand at the time, and there were some pretty fancy ice cream shops, so we got to go pick what ice cream we wanted with mum or dad. And so that was just another way that we had the scriptures that were taught to us. And even just over morning tea, talking at 8:30, I was able to, just off the top of my head, remember one of those as we were talking in discussion. I was like, oh yeah, I learned that when I was a kid, through these memory verses. Yeah, praise God. I just want to speak to mums specifically just now and say that the prayers and the Bible stories and the challenging conversations, either that you're currently having, have had, or are yet to come, none of it's wasted. And that, just remember, as Timothy is encouraged, that these scriptures are able to make them wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe to grandmothers, perhaps you feel a bit like Paul at a distance from Timothy. You might feel like a small link in this chain. These days, maybe you don't get to see them very often. Notice what does Paul do? Verse 3, I constantly remember you, Timothy, in my prayers. Perhaps you, as a grandparent, you might not get to see all the work that God's going to do in the lives of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But your faithfulness and your prayers for them are not wasted. God sees it all. Remember that God uses ordinary, faithful believers to teach people about Jesus. An important thing to just remember alongside of this as well, I think, is something that Billy Graham puts quite well. He was a great evangelist for the past century. And Billy Graham, he grew up in a Christian household, and he came to this realization in his teenage years that faith could not be passed on as an inheritance, like the family silver. It had to be lived out by each individual. And he later goes on to say that God has no grandchildren. Only children. So what were Lois and Eunice doing then? Well, I think it's helpful to remember that they were not just passing on this family heirloom. They were not just passing on a family heirloom. I think, going back to 2 Timothy 3, they were teaching him from the scriptures. They were planting seeds of truth in Timothy's heart. As he grew up, planting seeds of truth, planting, day in, day out, year in, year out, and praying that God would give the growth in his heart. Praying for God to transform Timothy's heart and that those seeds of truth would sprout and grow. Lois and Eunice, they were pointing to, ultimately, the man Jesus Christ, who, with his feet, he was trudging up the hill, wasn't he? With a cross on his back to take away the punishment for our sin and our guilt and our rejection of God. And then, to make it worse, he was then flogged and whipped and put up on that cross, and he was put to death for our rejection of him. And to prove that the price had been paid for our rejection, he rose again 3 days later. That's the truth of that is not something that you can just inherit, that can just be passed down or absorbed like a sponge from your parents. No, faith is this personal response. It's a personal response for each individual, where you stop living your way, you live God's way. You make that decision in your heart. From Romans 10 that we had read earlier, puts it very simply, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Declare with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's what we're praying for, that our children would believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if your children are walking with the Lord, that is amazing. That is a gift from God, isn't it? It's not our achievement. God is the one who gives the growth, friends. Perhaps your children aren't walking with the Lord. I just want to say that might not necessarily be your failure. Remember that God is the one who gives the growth. And we might not always get it perfect, but friends, there is forgiveness, isn't there? That's what the cross of Christ means. There is forgiveness for the mistakes that we've made. But just remember that God is the one who gives the growth. As you're able, keep planting these seeds of truth in conversations, in interactions, in the way that you love and care for them, and keep praying that God will give the growth. But everyone here, I want us just to pause and consider this question for yourself. What is making it hard to live out your faith right now? Well, we've looked at this sincere, this true and genuine faith that Lois and Eunice had. What is making it hard for you to live out your faith right now? For some, it might be an unbelieving family member. Maybe it's your own faith feeling dry. Maybe it's just exhaustion, feeling overwhelmed. Just want to speak to those who maybe feel alone at home when it comes to maybe teaching your children, or maybe you're just the only believer in your household. And it can be really, really hard. Just remind you of Eunice. Now, she wasn't in the most ideal situation at home, was she? Very likely an unbelieving husband. And she would have had to make some tough calls, and she would have felt very alone at times, I'm sure. But yet, friends, her name is written in Scripture forever, isn't it? And she is called a woman of sincere and genuine faith. What an encouragement. God sees what you do when the doors are closed. Maybe for some here, your mum wasn't a Lois or wasn't a Eunice. Well, brothers and sisters, you are Lois. You are Lois. You might be the first Christian in your family. That is amazing news. Welcome to the great big spiritual family that we have together as God's people. That's incredible. Perhaps as well, you might not have children of your own. I wonder, how can you be a Lois to someone else? Remember Paul, he writes to Timothy. In verse 2, he says, "To Timothy, my dear son." Paul is this incredible spiritual father to Timothy, isn't he? There is this deep connection there. Paul is filled with joy. He prays for him. Maybe think about how could you be a spiritual mother or father or auntie to someone here at church or people in your circles? Think about who God has placed around us. Perhaps you don't call yourself a Christian yet. I'm so glad you're here. Today on Mother's Day, we celebrate mothers and all they do. We just want you to know the freedom that Jesus brings and the immense joy that if you have any Christian relatives, it would bring them immense joy to see you walking with the Lord. For you to be spending the rest of your life with Jesus. Remember, faith is this personal relationship where we stop living our own way and we go God's way. Declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's that simple. It's dead simple. If that's you, I'd love to talk and pray with you afterwards. So, brothers and sisters, when it feels hard to live out our faith, take comfort that God uses ordinary people with beautiful feet to tell others about Jesus. For Timothy, that looked like Lois and Eunice. Perhaps in your family, that might be your mum or grandmother. Maybe that's you. And our second encouragement from today is don't give up walking with Jesus. Instead, we're told to fan the flame. Don't give up walking with Jesus. Instead, fan the flame. Paul doesn't tell Timothy just to rest on what his mother had given him and then kick back and do nothing. No, he says, Timothy, put it into action. Keep making sure that you're working hard. He encourages to keep on walking. Verse 6, Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul here, he's writing to Timothy as a leader in the church. No doubt Timothy would have been coming up against a lot of opposition. Things are tough sometimes. You know, people would have been opposing him. He would have been having to make hard leadership decisions. He would have been feeling the weight. I think we can resonate a lot with where Timothy would have been feeling, can't we? I don't think we get this impression, though, that Timothy, he's just like this little ember that's about to go out, and if it doesn't get fanned, then it's just going to go out. No, like any fire, if you're sitting around a campfire and it's a cold winter night, that fire needs restoking, doesn't it? The timber needs turning over. Put some more wood on it. Keep it burning. Keep it going. Keep the heat strong. That's what Paul's encouraging Timothy to do and encouraging us to do as well. Keep fanning the flame. And Paul gives Timothy three encouragements. He says, God's Spirit gives us power. This is in verse 7. God's Spirit gives us love. And God's Spirit gives us self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. I think power to keep walking and talking about Jesus when things are hard. Love, well, friends, we see the ultimate display of love in what Jesus did on the cross, don't we? The humility that he showed to be nailed to a cross and crucified. I think God's Spirit gives us love so we can show the same love to other people when it can be really, really hard sometimes. Power, love, and self-discipline, I think, to keep going when it's just really tough. To keep pushing on when things are hard. A woman I know who has been walking with the Lord for many, many years. She's a mum, grandmother, great-grandmother. This is my grandma, Jan. And I asked her, what has it looked like for you over the years as a mother, and specifically a Christian mother? And so she thought about it and she prepared some things, and I filmed a video of her. She was quite nervous, but I was very thankful that she did it, and I hope it's encouraging to us all. So let's hear from my grandmother, Jan.
Both my husband and I grew up in loving Christian families, so our love for the Lord was part of our lives when we got married, which was a great bond between us. As a mother and as parents, you're given the blessing and the responsibility of bringing up children into this world. As my mother had for me, I prayed with our children, said grace at meal times, read Bible stories and sang songs. We took them to church and they went to Sunday school, and I shared the love of Jesus with them. This changed as they grew up and they got input from youth groups, joining Christian groups at school and university. Our role as parents then was to guide and encourage them in their lives and love for the Lord, and help them make their own decisions as responsible adults. We could only do this with the love and strength from the Lord. For those who are not believers, I've not given up hope for them. I pray for them each day and know that they are all very loving individuals and show love in so many ways towards their family and many others in their lives. We can advise, encourage, and continue to show the same love for them as we do for those who know and love the Lord Jesus.
grandmother, Jan. Very thankful for her. She's been fanning the flames for many decades, for her many years of trials. She lost her husband, Max, 9 years ago. Yes, Max was named after him. This is what beautiful feet can look like after a lifetime of walking with the Lord. I asked us before to think about this question: what's making it hard for you to live out your faith at the moment? Just in follow-up to that, what would it look like for you to fan the flame, to keep going? Perhaps for mums, that looks like continuing to read Bible stories despite the battles to make that happen, persisting through the difficult teenage years. Perhaps if that's not our situation, it's inviting family members to church, not assuming that they're going to say no, but just inviting them anyway and praying that God will be giving the growth. Maybe it's picking one person and praying for them every single day this week by name, praying that they will come to know the Lord. Maybe if you're feeling just really low and exhausted and like your faith is really dry, maybe that fanning the flame just looks like asking someone to pray for you. And asking God to help you to keep persevering. Maybe that's what it looks like for you at this stage. Friends, we've been reminded how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And how do we keep the faith alive? We've been seen two encouragements, and that's that God uses ordinary faithful believers to teach people about Jesus. And also, don't give up walking with Jesus. Instead, we're told to fan the flame, to keep going. Beautiful feet, beautiful feet. Who's got beautiful feet? People who walk, people who talk, people who talk about Jesus. Who's got beautiful feet in your family? Maybe it's your mother or grandmother. Perhaps it might even be someone who you don't even know, but who introduced you to the gospel and this personal relationship with Jesus. Perhaps today we need to be the ones with beautiful feet as we keep passing on the incredible message about what Jesus has done. Just to close, I'd like us to spend a moment just thinking about our one big thing that we want to take away. If you don't usually join us, this is a moment where we take a few minutes just to think about something that we want to resonate, something that has resonated with us, and something that maybe we want to share over morning tea as well. And so I'll give us a moment just to think about what we've looked at from 2 Timothy 1 today. And I'll pray to wrap up in just a moment. Let me pray to close. Lord God, we've been singing this morning about how you have fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us, and you care for every one of us so deeply. And Lord, there are so many people who do not yet know about your Son, Jesus. For each and every one of us, as whether we are mothers or fathers, or spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers for people, I pray that you will be helping us to have beautiful feet who go out and tell people about the amazing message of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you just use ordinary, faithful people to tell people about Jesus. We can feel very ordinary sometimes, but Lord, please be working through your Holy Spirit to bring people to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.